This is Monday's Ballarat Today here at 3BA with Brett Mack. Time to introduce a man who is no stranger, I'm sure. In fact, I think we all feel like we've grown up with him. A man who's won 5 Gold Logies, was famous for many years on The Midday Show and, of course, 60 Minutes. And tonight he has a very special TV show airing on Prime 7. Let's find out about it with Ray Martin. Good morning, Ray.
Hello, Brett. Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to have you on the show. Do you get that a bit, that people feel like they've grown up with Ray Martin?
Yeah, I do, and the worst thing is, as you get older, you tend to, forget occasionally, and I'll think it's just a viewer who says g'day, and I'll walk past my wife and say, you know who that is? And I'll say, no, and I say, oh, that's sort of Fred Smith. Oh, damn, I forget that. So when you're old shoe, you do tend to become familiar.
I'm glad it's not just me who has that occasional memory lapse, Ray Martin, that is for sure. Ray, just before we talk about the forgotten Australians, I just want to have a brief chat to you about something you did on the ABC, I think it was, earlier this year, called At Home Alone Together. It was Ray Martin delving into comedy. What were you thinking?
Yeah, well, I agree. What was I thinking? My kids say, you know, Dad, don't sing, don't dance, and now they say, don't think you're funny. That's it. It was good fun. I'd worked with some of the Chaser people before, with Mark Humphreys on SBS and ABC, who's a great comedian, and they said they, you know, saw a role as long as I stayed straight and didn't try to be funny. A role, it was fun to do. I like to push the envelope, and they're good people I trust, so it was fun.
Even though you were the straight man, you got to say some pretty funny stuff, didn't you?
Yeah, it was. A good script writing. Again, when you've been in the business for 50-plus years, you get a chance to work with some bright young 25 to 35-year-old people and listen to what they've got to tell you, because comedy's not my thing. But it was good fun. And they were good. It's always... occasionally have done stuff for the project as well on Channel 10, and it's just good to work with bright young minds. It just keeps you fresh.
I bet it does. The other great thing about this show too was it gave people work when the industry was shut down during the pandemic.
Yeah, it's very clever. I mean, normally, you know, you get a series like that, ran for 9 weeks totally, but a series like that normally takes a good couple of months at least to get up, and they got that up in about 2 weeks.
Wow.
And it really was done from home, and we shot that in my house. Initially, there was only one cinematographer, one woman, who was Chloe, who was the shooting it, and she was the only one in the house, and otherwise we were sort of locked down, but it opened up a little bit towards the end, it all changed, and it was funny. I mean, I had people my age, friends, saying, you know, what the heck was that about? And others, including my son and daughter, who were really tough critics, who said they thought it was fantastic. So it was aimed at under 55-year-olds, and I think it won the spot for 8 weeks in a row. So
it
hit the mark, even though some older people thought, you know, is that funny?
Would you do it again?
Oh, no, I'd love it. It was fantastic. It was just, and also it's just, you know, I think when you've done is all the range of things that I've done. I've done a lot of sport and a lot of science even, and done the religious programs and from news and current affairs. So when someone says, do you want to have a go at comedy, you take a deep breath and say, yeah, why not?
Next thing, you'll be doing reality TV.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about that. I appeared in a drama as myself, a drama that I think was done by 10 a couple of years back. I had 2 appearances there, but each time appearing as Ray Martin rather than try to act.
Maybe not a bad idea. I'm sure it's still streaming somewhere, maybe on iView. Check it out, At Home Alone Together. It is funny stuff with my guest this morning, Ray Martin. Now, Ray, let's talk about The Forgotten Australians tonight on Prime 7. This is an in-depth investigation into the aftermath of the bushfires, some of the worst we've ever seen. What prompted this program?
I guess there was a feeling that when the fires hit, like this time almost last year, a little earlier for some, a little later for others around the country, as we do, especially these days with bushfires, it makes, as devastating as it is, it makes amazing television, because the pictures are so amazing, and you know, camera crews are so brave to go and do it. We do that, and we tend to, in this case, I think the media blitzed those areas to the point where there was a bit of media fatigue. They were sick of having cameras and radio people with microphones asking questions. But they then suddenly COVID came, and people walked away, as we do in the news business. We have short attention span.
Yeah.
And they felt forgotten. And there was, you know, we know there's about $250 million raised in the relief fund, including that amazing $52 million by Celeste Holmes in The Comedian. And so we thought they were had enough money. And then suddenly we started hearing stories on the network just about people still waiting for a caravan, let alone a home, and other people whose insurance money hadn't come through, or were finding that there was red tape blocking the rebuilding of a farmhouse and all these sorts of things. And so we thought, no, hang on, despite COVID, it's a good time to go back and not look at the fires, because we've done that, but people. And that was fairly extraordinary.
So when you've gone back into the fire grounds, Ray Martin, you've seen that communities have largely been left to fend for themselves.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, to be fair, it's not an attack on governments or insurance companies, who overall have done pretty good, as it turned out. But always when you begin that sort of campaign of if you like, mopping up compassionately, then people fall through the cracks. And so we found that there were some insurance companies that had forgotten people, but generally that'd been okay. And generally that $250 million was spread around, and generally people did okay. But there were lots of examples we found in the three. We went to southern New South Wales and into Mallacoota in Victoria, and then we went up to the Blue Mountains in New South Wales at the back of Sydney, and then up the north coast at the back of Kempsey. And what you found there, as I say, was there was a lady down in Bega, for example, who had waited 2 years. She was hit by fires before the big ones last year, and she'd waited 2 years, a 70-year-old ex-school teacher, living in the bush, and she didn't even have a shower. Good Samaritans turned up and built a shower for her from her creek with a bit of a heater in it. So she actually, for the first time in 2 years, had a warm shower. Now, you would think with $250 million, someone could buy this poor lady a shower. And
it would
happen.
Yeah.
And red tape as well. I guess that's the curse. You know, public servants and local councils not meaning to be, to be obstructionist, and that's what they've been. And so people have got the money from insurance company to build a house that was burnt down in the fires, and there were hundreds of houses, but they can't get it because, you know, some stupid councillor said, no, you can't do so-and-so. So we're anxious to, you know, shine a light on that. But even more devastating, Brett, was just the PTSD, the mental trauma that came with this, which shocked me even more than the intensity of the fire.
Ray, were you able to use your influence and the power of the media to fix any of these injustices that you came across?
Well, we hope so. Certainly the very fact that when you start to put a newspaper or radio station or a television station into a genuine problem, politicians usually respond, as they should, because, they feel the heat. So in that sense, I think that we were helpful, I'm hoping, and certainly I think there was one case where there was a town outside of Kempsey that had left with a very old fire truck for the volunteer firefighters. It really is almost a death trap, and I think we've solved that problem for them, and that's a start. But I think probably overall the better, if you like, the better result is the fact that what we're doing in talking to these fantastic people, and they were, you know, great fun and as tough as bush country people can be. But nevertheless, it's just that reminder, you know, what's become, if you like, a really good cliche of, are you okay?
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's done in terms of put spotlight on people where, you know, we talked, the first five people we spoke to, Brett, who were down in near Bega in New South Wales, they including two blokes and three women, the women were saying, look, you know, I'm surprised how damaged I've been by this mentally and spiritually, and therefore I'm seeking counselling, which is a good thing to do. And the men were not. The men were farmers, and no, I'm okay. And then within 2 minutes, there was a tear trickling down their cheek, or else I had to, you know, reach out and give them a hug.
Yeah,
that sort of stuff. So you realise then just how widespread and how long-term the impact of these fires are, as they are on, you know, on policemen and women and on fireys and ambulances and even frontline workers these days in the COVID crisis. But so it's just, I think, a terrific reminder that they don't just get up and build the house and get on with life. Often it can have long-term effects that we need to be aware of.
I'm speaking to Ray Martin this morning, The Forgotten Australians, airing on Prime 7 tonight at 7:30. Ray, we hear a lot about the great Aussie spirit. Did you stumble across it? Did you find hope out there in the fire grounds?
Oh, man, you find it in your city and in Bendigo and in country Victoria as you do in country the rest of country Australia. It is part of who we are, and I guess I'm biased because I'm an Australian, but they were, many of them were, certainly tougher than me, and they'd simply decided that losing your house and your farm and your animals and all of your fencing was something they just had to live with, and they'd get on and pick up the pieces again and, you know, wipe themselves down, brush themselves down and get on with life. So, yeah, I mean, what comes out of it, as I say, it's not photos of the bushfires. It's photos. It's meeting people. Mm. These people were everybody from, you know, a firefighter, an 80-year-old man in Bega who was pretty much the patriarch of the town. He was saying, look, you know, what worried him, having grown up there and lived all his life there, is that he thought that the impact on the people was enough to almost break the community. Now, that's terrible, and that's, you know, and sad, and we should be aware of it, not just in Cabargo, but in other places around the country when these happen. So, yeah, there's no question about the spirit. If anything, the people come out as champions, but it's just a reminder for the rest of us that, you know, maybe they have been forgotten. Maybe COVID, we need to go back and revisit some of these, like Mallacoota, the same in Victoria.
Yeah.
We need to go back and make sure that they're okay.
Yeah, yeah, get there and maybe spend a dollar or two on a holiday this summer. That might be...
And still a beautiful place.
Yeah, it is. A great spot to start. Regional Victoria, regional New South Wales folks, get out there and support these sometimes forgotten Australians. Looking forward to checking it out tonight, Ray Martin, The Forgotten Australians. It's only on regional TV. You can't see it in the metro areas tonight, 7:30 on Prime 7. Ray Martin, a great privilege to talk to you on Ballarat Today. Thanks for your time.
Nope. Brett, always good to talk to you, and Merry Christmas to you and your listeners, mate.